And now your speaker is David Hayes Profater.
Just prior to the ascension of Jesus Christ, the Lord declared, as recorded at Matthew 28:18-20, that all power had been given unto him in heaven and earth. By this, he commanded that all nations should be taught the gospel and baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Further, the Lord declared that the subjects of the teaching of the truth initially were also to be taught all things whatsoever they were commanded of the Lord. This series of instruction both specifies and limits the basis and origin of the doctrine taught and the baptism administered. The only baptism to be given was that authorized by Christ. The only doctrine taught was to be that authorized by Christ. While the apostles had been given the responsibility of initiating the preaching of the word, Acts the first chapter shows that the apostles were instructed to remain in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. The promise to be awaited was the giving of the Holy Ghost, a measure of which would enable the apostles to teach precisely that which the Lord would will. With the beginning of such preaching in Jerusalem, the message would later spread to other territories of Judea, then Samaria, and ultimately to the whole of the earth. Such would prove to be in keeping with the prophecy of Isaiah, who declared that the law of God and the establishment of church thereby governed would originate forth from Jerusalem. At Acts the second chapter, the promise of the bestowing of the Holy Ghost was fulfilled with the ability provided the apostles spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The tongues in which the apostles spoke by the power of the Spirit were the languages of the multitudes of people, the varied nationalities, who were present in that day to celebrate Pentecost. By the gift of the ability to speak in other tongues, everyone was able to hear the gospel preached in their native language. The Holy Spirit never, at any time, gave men the ability to speak in unknown tongues, that is, languages not otherwise known at all by man. The word unknown would, rather, merely indicate that the speaker of the tongue did not know the language before the Holy Spirit gave him the ability to speak it. That is, it was unknown to the speaker, previous to the Spirit's influence, and unknown to some of those who might have heard it, but certainly not unknown everywhere else on earth. Now, as the preaching of the gospel ensued, numerous numbers of people were convinced of their sin and asked the apostles to tell them what they could do to be saved. Peter told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you recall, this is the same baptism that Christ authorized just prior to his ascension, and is therefore the only baptism the apostles were divinely authorized to advocate. Through that baptism, men were provided remission of sins. And as Acts 2 comes to a close, we find that those who obeyed the doctrine taught by the apostles were added by the Lord himself to the church. Those that should be saved is the matter in which the number added to the church is described. Therefore, the church is the saved, and the saved are in the church. The series of events herein described fulfills not only the measure of prophecy known in the ages before, but even as was foretold by Christ himself, who told the disciples at Matthew 16:18 that, based upon his identity as the Christ, the Son of God, he would build his church. The church would be established on the foundation of Christ by virtue of the fact that all power was given to him in heaven and in earth, as we have already observed, and that God put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, according to Ephesians, the first chapter, the 22nd and the 23rd verses. As such, Isaiah's prophecy concerning a singular government on the shoulders of Christ is brought to bear, bringing with it the thoughts that he, and he alone, shall provide the necessary judgment and justice in matters spiritual. It should be realized that Christ is a singular governor of a singular kingdom, the church, in every sense of the terms. This being so, it is never the privilege of man to alter or interfere with that government in any way. We are governed in the church by Christ, in much the same way that we are governed by political bodies in this country. Imagine the mayhem that would result in this fair land if everyone who was displeased with the way the nation was run set about on his own to establish a new order of constituency with a new government. Countless numbers would be arrested and convicted of crimes as high as treason in the wake of the ultimate civil turmoil. However, men have given much less thought to the crimes that they've committed against the highest governor, Jesus Christ the Lord, in that they have repeatedly altered the truth and exchanged it for a lie, creating new systems of religious government and organizations for which the Lord offered no authority. In search of the church, honest ones look around and beyond the religious confusion that is. To seek the truth, the unadulterated will of God, and the oneness of Christ in the church, these are truly words fitly spoken.